Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba. Welcome to episode 86, and I am with my good friend, Manish Chauhan. Manish, how long have we known each other? 4 years now? Going on 4 years? 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years, and you still put up with me. It's amazing. Manish is, how I met Manish is in one of my clients over in India, and that's where he's sitting right now. He is the head of HR and has a quality background. We're talking about NHB Ball and Roller in just north of Mumbai. And a little bit about Manish before we get going here. He's a leadership professional, mindset coach, speaker, and author whose work bridges the worlds of corporate excellence, personal transformation, and inner growth. With more than 29 years of experience across human resources and quality assurance, he currently serves as corporate HR head at NHB Ball and Roller Limited. And by the way, NHB, I'm from Connecticut originally, and the NH stands for New Haven, Connecticut, where the company actually started, which is kind of crazy.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like, as a matter of fact, I used to work in New Haven. Throughout his professional journey, he has led organizational transformation initiatives focused on operational excellence, people development, which, by the way, if you don't do that, you don't transform anything, and continuous improvement. Alongside his corporate career, Manish has devoted years to understanding the deeper relationship between mindset, clarity, emotional well-being, and human potential. And what we wanted to talk about today, actually two things, but he has two books. One's not published yet, but we're going to focus mostly on the book called Be the Magic, which I was honored to write the foreword to. And I'll let Manish talk more about the book, of course, but he talks about the four phases of human experience, starting with victimhood, which he claims that perhaps 90% of the population is in that space, and it's not a good space to be in. Intention is the second one. Inspiration, coming from surrendering and being inspired, and then awakening. And he'll talk about those four phases, but he has what's called a Magic X system, which is a set of practical tools, including meditation, affirmation, gratitude, inspiration, compassion, and exercise. Okay, where he will walk you through that process in order to move along these four steps of victimhood, intention, inspiration, and awakening. So that's the book, Be the Magic. The second book we're going to talk about a little bit later because they are related and linked, but I am going to have Manish back on to talk more about the book once it gets released. It's called Be Minimal. And I'll let you talk a little bit more about that as well. But you know, there he's talking about four fundamental areas of life: health, relationships, career, and money. And so they are, as I started learning about the new book just the other day, there's a link between these two books. They're kind of connected in some regard. And so Manish, welcome to the show. And let me start out by just saying that you wrote this book, which I think is doing pretty well. And what was your, well, speaking of inspiration, what was your inspiration to write the book?
So thank you, Mark. And it's been a pleasure to coming on your show. So Be the Magic was the name from earlier. So if you see, I have a blog, which is Manish Magic. So magic has always been in my life in some or the other way. Mm-hmm. So let me expand on the four phases.
Sure.
So when I started, actually, let me just go back and how this book came into life. So I was sitting one day and some inspiration came to me and I started typing on my laptop. And I thought it's just an off the beat something is going on. And I started typing. It was almost an hour, and I was still typing another hour, and then I kept it down. The next day, and I thought it could be one of the incidents, but second day also the same thing happened. The third day also the same thing happened. And then I thought something is there. And in that flow state, I started discovering the four phases. So it came as first phase is victimhood, rightly said. Second is the intention. Third is the inspiration. And fourth is the awakening. So life, because everything is what we talk about is the life experience and what is life. So there are four phases where I think is how it connects the life. So one is life is happening to me. So always what we say is something is wrong outside them. My boss is the problem. My wife is the problem. He's the problem. That is the problem. So my finger is always out there. So it's a victimhood where we are not taking the responsibility of our life. We are not in a control and we give the power to the opposite person.
By the
So
way,
government.
you just described 90% of Americans, and 90% and you know, maybe even more, and how our political system here, you know, feeds on that victimhood. But anyway, I'll stop there. I won't get political, but boy, is that boy, it really hits home, you know. And I gotta admit, I sometimes feel I'm a victim too. I'm still not totally out of that space. So
Correct. And when I talk about four phases, it doesn't mean that when the person is into second phase, it doesn't belong to first. In some aspect or in some areas, still they are into victimhood. They could be in the second phase for some area other, like very good in the money mindset. So they are not in the victimhood. They could be in the second phase. So it's not that in the some aspect they are into one, they are into two. So let's come
got it.
back to the victim. So always it is. So I'm just recalling one of the with Joe Martini or Jack Canfield gave it. E plus R is equal to O. Event occurs, there's a response, and there's an outcome. So let's say there's an event. Let's say outside the rain is falling. My response is, oh, why the rain? I need to go out. And the outcome would be not good for me. So if I want to change the outcome, that is O, I cannot do anything on the event. That's not in my hand. But what is in my hand is R, that is response. I can go with my umbrella outside. I'm not wet and I'm enjoying also and I'm going out also.
That's
So
powerful.
the res that's
That's powerful.
response is the most important.
Wow.
You get, let's say, $10,000. You gamble it, it's gone. 10,000 you invest it and your future is secure. So event is the same, but how you response dedicates how what would be the outcome. So if you want to change the outcome, the response is very important. And in victimhood, what happens is people tend to give, get the easy answer because it's very easy to point out finger outside. Because if he's the problem, I don't have to do anything. I don't
Not
have to
you.
change.
Yeah, it's not you.
Yeah, very easy. Unless and until my boss changes, how I'm going to do well? Because boss is the problem. I'm not the problem. But
Wow.
the day I accept that I am the problem, I need to change. It's a difficult task. It's a very difficult task.
I love that. And by the way, I just as a side comment here, if you go on LinkedIn like I know you do, and of course I'm on there pretty heavily. So many comments about leadership, bad leadership. And you want to talk about victimhood, right? And there's actually consultants out there who actually feed on that. They're going to tell you why your leaders are bad and why you can't do lean or whatever. And unless you hire them, of course, you know. So when I look at that dynamic going on, one thing I've noticed is I never see leaders complaining about their employees. And maybe that's why they're leaders. I don't know. But you know, not to say that there's bad good leaders and bad leaders. I understand that. But you know, leaders have now 10 of these little darlings working for them. Okay. Okay. They only got one guy to blame. Okay. And
Correct.
all of them, probably 9 out of 10, think they could do the guy's job better or the gal's job better, you know,
So
and
one thing,
so yeah.
one thing which is coming in my mind right now is also, have you ever observed whenever there is a problem, you are always there? So people keep on telling me, see,
I
this is
love
your
that.
problem. That
I
is your
love that.
problem.
You're the
So
common
the
denominator. Yeah.
common denominator is you. So you need to check what is the problem. So
I
it's
said
very
that. I
deep.
said that to a relative one time who had pretty much alienated, I would just say, his or her whole family. And I actually remember saying, you know, you ever notice that you're the common denominator with all those relationships?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Wow.
And
Powerful.
then there's also a thought that if I'm not able to change myself, how do I expect others to change? Because it's very easy to point out and say, you don't do this, you don't do, but we know ourselves. There are a lot of places where we are not good at. Either it could be leaving the sugar or some fries or something. We know we lack in certain things. But we force onto others to do this thing. And let me tell you, this is not that it is coming right now. It is from the childhood upbringing. So because this is my interesting subject and I do a lot of research on this, it's more to do with inner dialogues, how the beliefs are formed. If you recall, I gave you one example of elephant, a big elephant tied to a simple rope. He's not able to break it, even though the elephant has grown, but he cannot break the simple rope. Why he's not able to do that? Because when the elephant was small, it was tied with the rope and he struggled. He struggled to came out, but it was not possible because it was small. But eventually, when it grows, still he has the belief that today also he cannot break it. This is how the belief works. So just let me just give me one more example to this. There's an iceberg. So 10% of the iceberg we can see, but 90% it is deep inside. So that 10% is the behavior what we see into others. Behavior is something which camera can capture. Somebody is shouting, somebody is slapping or something, which camera captures. So that is only 10%. But why he's behaving that? Is his thoughts, values, beliefs, his life experience, his needs, which are met or not met, all that governs that 10%. So it has to do more with the subconscious rather than the conscious one. So that is how it is.
We only been on this episode for 10 minutes, and I can't believe the wisdom that you just talked about. I mean, seriously, it's incredible. These insights, you know, are I don't know what the right word is. I mean, the insights are just spectacular. I mean, to think about the world that way, you know, and
And
you know, yeah.
I'm fortunate to have that life experience, so that's how I speak.
No, I mean, that's in some sense maybe why God put you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
I mean, you know, by the way, you had to bring up food, okay? French fries and all that. You do know that when I do come to India, you need to give me garlic naan.
Yes, I
That's my,
still remember
you
it.
know, that's my favorite, right? So all
Yes.
you have to do, you don't even have to pay my bill. Just give me garlic naan in return. Oh my good. I've had you fed you guys have fed me some unbelievable garlic naan when I was there. And I can't get it like that here, even in an Indian restaurant. I can't get it the same quality. But anyway, I just thought I brought up fruit here for a minute, a little side deviation here. Okay. You know, it's interesting because the response how you respond and really recognizing things you can and cannot change. I can't change the rain, you know, is powerful, very powerful. And In a sense, you're really talking about a notion. In lean, we talk, you've heard me say this before, is when a CEO says to me, I got to get my people to change. And my first question would be, well, what about you? And,
Exactly.
the notion of Kaizen, your Kaizen being continuous improvement, Kaizen yourself first before you ask others to Kaizen themselves, because it's you that created the environment that gave the processes that aren't working that people have to struggle with every day, right? In all kinds of different ways, unsafe ways, bad quality, pressure, overtime, and things like that. But I don't know if you know Jason Neal, but you should meet him. I'll introduce you if you haven't. He wrote a book called Accidentally Aligned, and he had a great quote, Manish, about culture. And he said, culture is the behavior the most powerful people in an organization will tolerate. And
Yes.
I thought that was interesting. I thought that would connect with you because, and you guys definitely should meet, because you would love this guy and he'd love you too. You definitely get on some kind of plane in terms of thought, So I'll make sure you guys get together. Okay.
Yeah, I saw the podcast.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
He's a wonderful guy.
He's a great guy, and he does what the Japanese call Hansai, which is self-reflection, right? Which is really what you're really telling us to do,
Yes.
self-reflection on yourself. Hansai, did I really say the right things in that meeting? Was I too rude? And I've done that before where I look back and say, well, what a jerk I am, to behave the way I
Yes.
behaved. And then, well, okay, so now what am I going to do about it? And that type of thing. So I guess we're all human, but so the victimhood is a big one. And I like what you said about you're not always out of one and completely in the other. It's more like a transition type of thing.
Yes.
And but do you find that over time you end up moving towards the awakening side? I know awakening, you told me earlier, is not something you choose to do. It just kind of happens to you.
Yeah.
So maybe talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah. So let's move from victimhood to the second, which is intention.
Intention.
So intention is like sometimes you're frustrated with your life. Okay, this is enough. Now I need to do something on it. And you come up with, let's say, law of attraction or secret movie and some other stuff on online and such. And you started exploring it. Let's have a vision board. Let's have a goal to have this house or this kind of health or this body. I have myself have done it because I was 94 kg and then I've reduced to 74. So I've been to this second phase also where I had kept my vision board and whatever was there and I was achieving it. So that is also good state, better than victimhood, because victimhood is problem is outside there. But then you take charge and you start working on yourself. You start pushing yourself. You start working hard. So second phase is good where you use vision boards, you have the gratitude list, you have a lot of other stuff which is like, out there in the market. Like what I said, the secret movie, once you watch it, you will also like excited. Your thoughts create the reality. So you are into the second phase and you are creating your own life. But then there is a time when everything you start achieving it. And there's a void, kind of a void, or something happens where your loved one passes on, or something, and then you're like shattered. What happened? Everything is there in my life, but still I'm not able to get what I want. And then you surrender to the life. And once you surrender to the life, inspiration comes in. This is how I started writing my book, and I started writing, and I surrender, and universe through me gave this book. So I don't say to people that it's my book. It was given from the universe to me. And that's why you can also be the magic. That is how the title also came. So third phase is the best phase because then actually you don't intend to do certain thing. It's the inspiration which gets you there. Because intention, you say, let's say I want to live in US at certain place. But how do you know that is the best place for you? Something as universe, he wants to do something in India for certain kind of a people. You don't know what is your capability. You, based on your beliefs, based on your past, what you are hearing from the society, you intend to do. But that's not always that it would be good for you. So leave it to the universe. You do your part and hear the inspiration and start working on that. It's not that the actions are not required, but the action would be the inspired action. You got inspired to call me. Okay, let's have this. And we start a dialogue. So it's more to with inspiration where there are a lot of resistances very less. In intention, you need to force certain thing to do. You need to get up, you need to do exercise, X, Y, Z. But in inspiration, you do things, but it is more non-resistance. So you're removing the waste, like what we say in the lean, you're removing the waste, and then the value addition happens. So you create the value.
So surrender, so in a sense, the way I hear you talk about surrender, which is almost like the phrase before inspiration, is look, I'm just gonna, I guess maybe put in layman's terms, I'm just gonna lay back and let things come to me. Is that what you're really saying? I'm not gonna try to force it at this point.
Yeah, so sort of
Okay.
like you still, if you think that I'm going to lay back and sit and let it happen, still that you are intending to do certain thing. So
Okay.
one of the tool which I gave in the third phase, which is inspiration, is Ho'oponopono. So Ho'oponopono is an Hawaiian technique to correct the things. So what they talk about are the four phrases. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me and thank you. So when you say I love you, you're connected to the universe. I'm sorry for whatever is in me that has created this incident. So if you see something like what we were discussing now, the politics or the wars and something is happening, it is so taking further responsibility, self-responsibility, that when you see certain thing out there in the world, it's a reflection of your inner state. You are responsible. It's very hard and it is very difficult to digest because the war which is going on in Iran, I am responsible. Yes, you are responsible because it is in your vision. So somewhere, something has done at a subconscious level because it's a collective consciousness. It's not only my thought now, it's an thought of all the collectiveness.
That's
So
amazing.
there is something in me that has created outside there. So you take responsibility and you say, I'm sorry for whatever is in me that has created this situation. Please forgive me because I was unconscious, I was unaware, and thank you for releasing this energy. So once the energy is released from me, it's released from others also. See, you cannot change other, but when you change, other changes. You have to be the change in the world, then the world will change. But we tend to ask others to change.
So you said, I love you. I'm sorry. Thank you.
I
And
love you. Sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. So it's the sorry is like, let's say, I'm walking in a mall and somebody steps or I steps on somebody. What I will do? I will immediately say, I'm sorry. So it doesn't mean that you are wrong. You are at fault. But something happens and you say, oh, sorry. So it's that kind of a sorry. Please
got it.
forgive me.
Got it.
And thank you for releasing the energy. So in that also, you can go level one up, which is forget up the four phases also. Just keep on saying, I love you to the universe. So when you're connected and when you're constantly saying I love you're connected and the inspiration come. Or you say only thank you because see everything in your life is so marvelous and you should be grateful for that. So thank you for the conversation. Thank you for the people who are around. Thank you for the house. Thank you for the podcast. Thank you for everything. So once you are in that state, the inspiration come. So this is also one kind of a tool where you connect to the universe. So that is the flow state, inspiration, connecting to God. So a lot of names can be given, but this is what I mean by the phase three.
Manish, you and I know, you've had a devastating loss in your family. You lost your wife to
Yes.
cancer, and I think it was cancer. And I lost my son in Afghanistan, speaking of the war. I went to a grief counselor just like maybe 10 years after he died. So I should have gone a lot earlier. And she had me do the following, which is interesting. She wanted me to write an I'm sorry letter to my son and a thank you letter to my son. But first, she said, I want you to first do it with your father. And you would not believe when I did that, the things that I were a little bit, and my father passed in 1991, so a long time ago, I was in my early 30s, and so I had a lot of resentment on certain things about my father. Okay, like for example, my father was drastically overweight. Matter of fact, when he died, which is probably one of the reasons he died, he was 425 pounds. And I don't know what that means in kilograms, but it's a lot of weight, right? And he never would go to my little league games as a kid, and I in my baseball games in high school and stuff, and I was always resentful for that. He never would take me to a professional ball game. Okay. I finally realized through this process, he didn't want to embarrass me because kids would make fun of me because my father was really heavy and fat. And he also, if you've ever been to a US like Fenway Park in Boston where the Red Sox play, they still have seats there engineered for people who are the size in 1920s. Okay, so there's no way my father would have fit in any one of those seats. Okay. It never dawned on me, Manish, that that was the reason. Because he was a good father in a lot of other ways. And which I was so like in the victim state that, and then when I wrote the thank you letter, it came out, well, wow, this guy was awesome. I mean, first of all, he fought at the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II. That alone will tell you something. But he also provided us a house, a family. He worked 44 years as a tool and die maker, which he'd be great at your business right now if he was alive. And he also he never missed a day in work in his life in 44 years. Taught me my work ethic, okay? Taught me the value of money, as you're going to discuss in your next book, and what how to look at money, right? And he also, so he took us fishing, taught us how to fish in the ocean, So he took us on vacations to the World's Fair, to New York, to Montreal, Atlantic City. He did what he could do with the faculties that he had relative to economics. And after I wrote the thank you letter, I said, holy crap, I've been focused on me all this time. Like I'm all upset because he didn't go to my little league game, And it was amazing. So when you're sitting here telling me this, I'm like amazed. It's like, wow. I mean, that is really awesome. And again, I'm here to testify that I have firsthand experience with what you're saying, And so, always we say, oh, I'm a victim and all that. So this is amazing. And by the way, I want you to talk a little bit about this statement you made. Your thoughts create your reality. Talk to me about
Yes.
that. Talk to me about that.
So, see, life is experience internally, inside out, like Apple iOS system. So I always say iOS, inside out. So who you are is seen outside. So everything is created twice. One is in your mind, and then it has been created. So let's say, example, if you want to create a building, you create a blueprint. But prior to that, you think in your mind how it is going to be. So everything what you see in the physical realm is always coming from the invisible. And your thoughts are so powerful. So let's do one exercise which it would help to understand how the thoughts affects. So I would request you to close your eyes and just go with the flow, and whatever I say, you just try to imagine. It's like a visualization. So you're going into your home and you're going towards your refrigerator. You open up your refrigerator and there you see yellow lemon. And it's a yellow, looks very juicy. You remove the lemon, you bring it to your kitchen platform, you take a sharp knife, you cut it into half. Now you take one of the half part of the lemon, you bring it close to your mouth. You open your mouth and just press it, and the juice is coming onto your tongue. So now you can open your eyes, Mark.
You just hypnotized me.
So did you feel anything? So there was a saliva. The what point I'm trying to drive here is there was no lemon, there was no knife, but still your body reacted on the thoughts. So just imagine, just if you're creating the visualization and the body is getting affected. So the most important thing is in the health aspect also, when you think, there are 60,000 thoughts which are coming in your mind, but the maximum, the body is closest to you, and you eat only two or three times or a few times a day. What affects more? The thought or the food? So the primary is the thought, and the secondary is the food, which is all about my second book. We'll come to that later. But the thoughts change the reality because the meaning what you give to yourself happens into the world. It is the lens. So example, if I'm wearing a pink lens or pink glasses, what I'm going to see? I'm going to see everything pink. So Einstein gave a wonderful quote. If you want to see, so basically the most important decision what we make in life is to believe whether we live in a friendly world or hostile world. If we believe it is a friendly world, you will find friends everywhere. But if you think it's all enemy out there, you will act in a certain way. You will try to defend yourself. You try to do something which is not good. So the thinking affects thinking, meaning the meaning what you're giving to yourself affects the outer world also. And now the science has also proved, because if you go back and watch out 2022 Nobel Prize, which is all about quantum entanglement, everyone is connected. So my thoughts also affects your thoughts. So let's say we are discussing one of the topic and I'm in a calm state. You will also have that particular state because we are connected. Physically, we are not connected. We are distance apart. But then at a mental level, everyone is connected. So thoughts are very powerful because it changes how you look at the world. Every.
That's great. Now keep going. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
So let me give you another example, which is
By the way,
right
I
now
still
coming.
taste the lemon, just to let you know. You said the
So
lemon wasn't real. Okay.
now you can taste anything. Now I believe you know the technique. So what I would like you to do is just have a round to your room, and I want you to find out what all reds are there in the room.
What is there?
Reds, red color. What can you see
Red.
around your room? And just make a mental note, what red are there?
Okay, well, Right on my screen, I have a nice sunset from
No,
on a
I don't want
area.
you to see. I just want you to make a mental note
Oh,
what
okay,
all
got it.
recommend.
Got it. Okay. I'm in a Red Sox
Wonderful,
uniform, but I'm in a Red
wonderful.
Sox
Now,
uniform at Fenway Park. Okay, go ahead.
so now let me put you the question.
Yeah.
What yellow color you have seen in the room?
Ah. Well, I could
So
cheat
let
because I got something yellow right by me here, but no, I got your point because I only looked at red. I only looked at
So
red.
the point what I'm driving is you see what you have in your mind. I gave you a prompt that find out red, and you were looking for red, but yellow was there, but you were not able to see because of reticular activating system. We call it is RAS. It's a filter in your mind by which you see what you want to see. Example, I want to have a sports car blue color. Suddenly, you will see everywhere blue color sports car. Why? Because you're searching for it.
I remember
If
every
you're
time we buy a new car, all of a sudden I say, wow, I didn't realize that many BMW X7s on the road. There's not many BMW X7s on the road. That's what I noticed. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's powerful. Wow. So is that
because
a form of what you call confirmation bias? Interesting.
So it's about what lens we are wearing that only we are about to see, and we think that's right. It's truth, but it's not the truth. It's your truth that is known as your belief.
It's my lens. Hey, can you come to Washington, D.C. and talk to our Congress?
Sure, I'll
Give them a
do
couple
that.
seminars. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I mean, it's like they need to think this through. But maybe they need to go through your other book and talk about what money is, then first, because that's driving so much of this. But wow, powerful. Okay, so you're into inspiration, and then you move into awakening.
Yes. So I would say awakening would be very, very few percentage, very rare, because then when you are at that stage, you don't want anything. Actually, sometimes see, you think, okay, that's the thing out there. But suddenly you start thinking life and me are not separate. We are together. Like I said, everyone is connected. We think something is out there, but it's not out there. It's everything is one. So example, let me expand on the 2022 Nobel Prize, what it was, quantum entanglement. So when the Big Bang happened, it was one substance. So when the Big Bang happened, everything got splitted, and like I said, we are there and everything. But one time it was all connected. So what the experiment states that the quantum physics, so there are two physics, the Newton physics, which we know that everything works as accurate as possible. So if I throw the pen up, it will come in that time, it can be calculated. So there is no ambiguity, because when you fly, you know the exact location where you're going to land, at what time you're going to land. People sending the person on the moon, you know definitely what is going to happen and how it is going to happen. It is because of the Newton physics. But there's a physics which is known as quantum physics. Now, what is quantum? When you go deeper below the atom, where it is neutrons and protons, which you're not able to see by your naked eyes or with the microscope also, it's very, very, very small. There, the Newton law doesn't happen. So there's a very different way of handling the things. And this experiment shows that when the observer is there, so they did a split experiment. So they send the protons through a gap, and it's splitted onto let's say a dish in a certain patterns. But once the observer seen it, the pattern was changed. That means something is going on, but once the observer sees it, it changes. So basically, this universe is everything is in a waveform. And you
Wow.
suddenly see the things and it becomes a particle.
Wow.
Everything is wave. It's like a carpet connected to each other. That's why we are connected and we are able to sense telepathy or we are able to understand. And that's why it is not about the communication. It's not about the strategy techniques. It's more about how you think about the opposite person.
Yeah.
If my thinking is good for you, and definitely you will sense it. But if I have something in my head and I'm trying to be polished, you will catch it. So that's why quantum entanglement, we are all connected because some or the other time we were connected to each other as a big bang and it splitted. So what they say is that neutrons or protons, if we make it half, the half portion, it is somewhere into different galaxy and one is here. If I watch this and it is up, the another one will be down because it could be n distance. And that has been proved by this 2022 Nobel Prize. So everything is connected.
I've got to look into that because that is incredibly interesting. And well, question for you. When you and I met, you had an energy about you, okay, that was to me obvious, right? And after you and I talked about energy around, the aura around a person, right? I've tried to, like when I'm at an airport waiting for my flight, I will just watch people and try to figure out their energy. You could tell sometimes, at least I never asked to verify, but it seems as if I could tell if somebody's angry or is an angry person, if somebody's happy, the way they walk, the way they carry themselves, what their face looks like in terms of, stress. And I try to figure out when I watch people, I try to train myself to try to understand. I never know if I'm right because I can't stop them and say, "Hey, are you happy or are you mad or are you sad?" Or but after a while, you start seeing patterns of energy around people, and you taught me
Yeah.
that, right? You taught me that, and which I really appreciate, by the way. But maybe say a few words about that too. As you, how does that tie into what we're talking about here?
Yeah, so it is again to more to do with yourself. So when we talk about, like always I use be the magic or be minimal. So be is what? Be is you,
My
meaning
choice, my choice. Yeah.
consciousness. Because see, I am Manish. This is my body's name. I'm corporate HR head. That is my designation. That is my label. But who am I? Because always in the universe or in the people says the most important or the fundamental question is who are you? Who am I? So I am a consciousness residing in this body. And my body is just a mechanism, a machine. Like example, if you are driving a car, so car, you're driving, you are important, not the car. Car has all the features, mechanism, the wheels and everything. But who is driving the car? Car has been driven by you. Similarly, we are a consciousness and the consciousness is driving this body. So
Wow.
the most important thing is the consciousness. So if I'm the consciousness and you are the consciousness, we can connect to each other. Body is just a reflection, or like today I'm wearing white t-shirt. Tomorrow I will be wearing black. Similarly, today I'm holding this body. Maybe after my death I'll be holding a new body. But I will be there. My consciousness will never die. So my whatever the qualities or in our culture we call it sanskars or the nature always remain. the person kind of a person I am today will always be there, but I am a consciousness. So when you are looking at the people in the airport also, your consciousness knows better than your intellectual. Intellectual knows based on whatever you learned so far, but your consciousness knows everything because it's been on a journey of life and multiple lives. So
And
that's why
it's
it
more of a
went to
feel.
connect.
It's like a feel. It's not like, oh, that guy's got wrinkles, so he said, or that guy's, you know. I try to just not look as much at the physical as like what feeling around, you know, around that person.
Exactly. That's the consciousness you were able to see, and you were able to understand what kind of a person that is. So immediately you sense that energy. Like when we met also, we didn't knew much about each other, but you were able to feel the same energy. Because see, there are again, I would say there are energies like higher state and the lower states, or we can say the vibrations. So we feel that, oh, the vibes are very good. What do we mean by vibes? Vibes are nothing but the vibrations. So Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibrations. So we are energy being vibrating at a certain frequency. So if I'm vibrating at a certain frequency and you are also vibrating at a certain frequency, our energy matches. Now let me give you a different kind of example. Somebody is driving and he is in a very bad mood, or he's very angry with his wife or somebody, and he's driving now. So he is an energy in a body. He's an energy vibrating at a certain frequency, which is low frequency, because now he's in anger. So he's in a low frequency. Suddenly, what will happen is somebody other is driving in a similar frequency, which is low. Now both energies are same, and they meet each other and the accident happens. Why? Because both are in the same frequency. That is the most important to understand. So there's an experiment, and I don't know the name of this doctor, but he has given very good example in his Power and Force. He has given the number for each frequency. So the guilt or the shame or the fear are the low vibrating energy. So let's say if you are in a state where you are vibrating at a very low phase, you will attract similar energy. So that's why people say that you need to be in a gratitude state, you need to listen to good song. Why? So that you will vibrate on a higher frequency. And once you vibrate on a higher frequency, you attract similar energy. That's what the law of attraction states also. Let's say I want BMW. So before wanting BMW, I need to vibrate at a certain frequency of that BMW. It is not what you want you get. It is what who you become that you get. That's the most important thing. People say that if you think and you will get it. Before thinking, you need to become that person so that you can attract it. So what I mean by becoming is vibrating at that particular frequency of love, peace, happiness. So when I'm vibrating at that frequency, I will attract similar energy or the frequency. So that is what you were watching when you were at the airport. So you were vibrating at certain frequency and you were able to make out whether the frequency is higher or is the lower. But the simple rule is whatever energy or the frequency or the vibration you are, you will attract the similar things. And that's why you see that you will have similar kind of friends, similar kinds of colleagues, because you yourself are vibrating at a certain frequency. And once you move to a higher state, you will attract similar peoples into your life. And that's why it is said you are a sum of five people you stay along with. You are an average of five people. So if you calculate your five friends and you calculate average out their income, your income will be similar to that, because
Interesting.
it's more about the energy. So it's
Well, look,
more to.
I still have my best friend since 4 years old. He's still my very best friend. And so I'm going to be 70 in December. So for 66 years, his birthday is very close to mine, just 8 days off. But he's younger, so he lets me know about it. And but since 4 years old, we live next to each other. And you know what's really strange about my friend Frank? First of all, he introduced me to my wife when I was 19, and I didn't want to go to this work party, and he kept bugging me about it. And so I went to the party finally. And when I walked into the house that the party was being held, my wife was sitting on the couch, and I looked at my friend Frank, and right off the top of my head, I said, "You see that girl over there? I'm going to marry her."
Wow.
I just knew
Excellent.
Manish. It wasn't like, "Oh, I'm going to marry her because she's a good-looking girl and all that." It wasn't any of that. A lot of good-looking girls, you know, but that one, you know, and no, so Diane didn't quite come to that conclusion right away like I did. Okay, but 4 years later we got married. Okay, and so, but Frank introduced me. Okay. And here's a guy that when we were both four, we moved next to each other. My father bought a brand new house. He was right next door, small little house, middle class, lower middle class, industrial type of town I grew up in. And there was Frank out there, and we started getting to know each other. And the things we did throughout our life, through high school and everything else, was like, and ironically, he lost his son too. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. And I said to Frank, I said, what's the odds that we would have grown up together and been such really, really, really good friends? Went to Italy last year with our wives, and we vacationed. They come here every Christmas to stay for a week right after Christmas. You know, it's that kind of relationship that we have with them. I talk to them almost every other day. And, you know, but I said to him, I said, what's the odds of us both losing sons? Okay, not that it's an uncommon thing to happen, right? But it does happen. And somewhere along the line, we were there for each other in both those situations. And maybe in some sense, it was meant to be. I don't know. You know, I don't know. It wasn't our call. You know, it wasn't our choice. And but you know, all this is really unbelievably unbelievably interesting. And you know, so I look at your work here, which, you know, by the way, when you do your seminars and your teachings, do you only do them in India, or do you travel outside?
So right now it is in India, and mostly it is online also because of the work and
Online.
urgencies. Not able to do that much, but yeah, whenever I get time, I utilize it for the people. So I love to deliver talks to the engineering colleges and to people who are in need. So I do that. And I
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
also, what you said, it felt me that it's more to do with patterns also. So in life, everything is pattern. And when we get, like I was explaining, the energy and the frequency, we get along with people who are into the similar vibrating phase. Like when we met also, we discussed about our loved one. So you see the similar pattern which is going on between us also. So your friend and you are also in a pattern. And whenever certain thing comes in the life, it is there to teach you. So
Yeah.
the earlier you learn the lesson, you get growth into your life. So you need to understand why it is happening. Just to give you an example, one of my friend is there, and always she had a lot of breakups. One boyfriend, and then again breakup, and then again, and then again. It's to do with the pattern. Unless and until she's able to break the pattern, she will not go. But finally, she has broken that pattern. So that is how it has to be done, because it is to do with yourself also. And you rightly said, when you pointed out, it was to do with your father. And when you were able to resolve that part, you can move forward easily. So life is like that. So sometimes it is also that we choose our parents before we come to birth, because we want it to, have that growth and
Yeah.
similar kind of environment where we can grow and break that pattern.
No, I know exactly. I believe that. I am a Roman Catholic, not really a devout practicing one, but the more I've learned about the Hindu religion, the more I think I should have been Hindu, because I do believe in all the things, all the four doctrines that you believe in, and including karma, including reincarnation. And when I look at some of the things that you said, and I can maybe just give you one example of several. I had a very bad business partner when I started out my consulting business, which was 25 years ago, this past May. I've been in business for 25 years and been on six continents and all kinds of different great people I've met and companies and industries, all kinds of different industries, you name it. But I had a very bad business partner. And when I look back after my son died, and basically how he tried to take advantage of me was the wake up call for me, right? And so I crystallized Manish in my mind when I never should have been in partners with him, not because he was a bad person, but it didn't make sense, period, okay, to be in business with a partner for what it just didn't make sense. And I formulated the reasons why you should get a partner. And I would say 95% of the time when somebody partners with somebody, it's a bad idea, okay, for all the different reasons I came to. But I would not know those reasons if I didn't have the bad experience, okay?
Exactly.
All right. And so I now counsel veterans for free with an organization I created called Brave, BREVE,
Yeah,
Business
Mark.
Reviews and Advisors for Veteran Entrepreneurs. It's all free service. It's not even, I don't take any money for it. It's not a 501c3 nonprofit. I don't do any of that. It's just my time, and I got a bunch of people that help me with this. But I've talked a lot of veterans about partnerships and saved them for that, okay, from a bad experience. Like, why do you want a partner? Well, he's been my really good friend. Okay. In 1 year he won't be. Okay, that kind of thing, right? And that's not a reason to be your partner, so I've talked a lot of veterans out of going into business with a partner when I thought it was ill-conceived based on my experience. And so, to me, that experience had to happen through pain, okay? Because otherwise, it wouldn't turn. If I just read it in a book somewhere, it might not m meant anything. But I really do understand what it means to have why you should get a partner, and why you should not. And so, in that case, that bad experience, I think, was chosen by me or maybe by God to have that bad experience so I can help other people not have that bad experience, right? I mean, that's, I mean, does that make sense to you? Or is that,
Yes, very much, very much. And I always also say that it's not your fault, but then it's your responsibility to overcome also. That I
yeah.
can always say that my parents were bad or my boss was bad, but okay, fine. It's not your fault. You have not chosen it, but now your responsibility is to grow. How can you do that? Like I always use the metaphor of the worm and the butterfly, because the worm struggles in the cocoon and a lot of struggles are there. But if you break, it can die. But after a lot of struggle, it becomes a beautiful butterfly and
Yep.
it defies the gravity and it flies. So that is, if you want the transformation, you have to go through the pain. You have to go through the struggle. Then only the transformation can happen. If you, and we live in a relative world. What do I mean by that relative? If you don't know what is hot, you cannot experience the cold. So if you want to experience the happiness, if you're not aware of the sadness, how you'll come to know the happiness? Because we are living in the relative world. So when I say that I am slim, I need a reference point. I need a person who is fat, then I can say that I'm a slim. But the person who is slimmer than me, then I'm the fat. So it's a relative world. There is no such thing as bad or good. When you have a reference, then you can say that it is good or bad.
Do
So
you
it's a relative.
also think one of the other things that came to my mind when you talked about the four phases here is that, a lot, and this is natural, I think almost everybody has it to some degree, some worse than others, but the concept of envy, okay? Envy and jealousy and like, I've got an unbelievable life. I've done very well for myself. And I've stopped saying, oh, that guy's got a better house, that guy's got a better car, or that, I used to do that, okay? And then the benchmark, and I've been to your country, there's a lot of poverty in India and elsewhere in the world. And I look at the way I'm living, it's almost I'm guilty that I have a house like this and I live in a community that is like this. And I think I just think that envy is such a cancer, in my opinion. It really is. And I'm not saying sometimes I'm not envious, okay? But it's such a cancer. And how does that tie into these phases? Is that going back to victimhood?
Yeah, but let me give you two perspective to this. One
Sure.
is jealousy. So what do you think? Jealousy, so these are all emotions. It's energy in motion. So it is an emotion. Do you think jealousy is bad?
It gets into the discussion about greed. And I have a view on greed, which I don't think it's bad. I think if you do something immoral to optimize your whatever it is you're going after, then yeah, it is bad. But I think greed kind of keeps us in some degree competitive and forces us to get better. Okay. Greed with immorality, though, to me is obviously not good, and that's you see a lot of that today. But so I don't know if I answered your question about jealousy, but maybe that there maybe jealousy and greed are related to some degree. I don't know.
So let me give you two perspective of this.
Sure.
So all these are emotions. And if emotion is created, it is there for something. It is, see, in universe, nothing happens for like that only. It has a reason or a purpose. So I look it in this way. If jealousy is there, why I'm jealous? I am jealous because that person has higher skill than me in certain way. Or he has better house than me, then only I'm jealous. If something is better than me, then I'm jealous. So jealousy tells me that you need to do something for that. Let's say the other person has good intellectual knowledge on the lean. That means it says to me that I need to learn. I need to educate myself. So if you look it in that way, that the jealousy is there. But if I do better in that skill, I would be too similar, I would be better. So emotions are there to tell you something. So it is not good or bad, it's there. So it tells you that you need to improve in on certain aspect. So this is one perspective. Second perspective, again, what I said, there are higher vibrations and there are lower vibrations. So again, when you are in a lower vibration, so jealousy, envy is in a lower vibration, and when
Hello,
you
yeah.
are into that lower vibration, you will attract similar vibrations. So
Interesting.
example, if you are in a grief also, you will attract similar. Just to tell you one metaphor or the reality, when somebody passes away, that soul is in a higher state because now it doesn't hold the body. It doesn't hold all the emotions. And what we do is we grieve. So we are at a lower energy and the soul is at the higher energy. But if you are able to get away from grief and you hold on to the higher energy, when the person passes off, you can interact or you can feel that vibration that he's there nearby you.
Yeah, I
But
have.
what happens is, you are at the lower frequency and he is at the higher frequency, you cannot connect. So in a way, jealousy is good, but in a way, it's not good also.
I see. Yeah, no, I see. And I do relate to what you're saying. I could sit here and tell you a thousand stories in that regard. Wow. Well, I tell you what, this is phenomenal. I don't know what to say about just the wisdom that you just offered to people that are going to listen to this podcast episode. And don't you for 1 minute think it's not about lean or business, or because I think that I don't even know if, I did an episode, Manish, earlier on that said we don't run our lives the way we run our businesses, right? And in some regards, do you see leaders, do you think leaders do treat their family the way they might treat their employees? I don't know. I venture to say probably not, but then the question is, well, why not? And so, or maybe that could be a bad thing. I should be careful what I ask for. But let's take a moment and just venture into. So, by the way, I'm going to put your books up at the end and just show them, display them. But I know you can get the Be the Magic on Amazon, and I assume that you're going to get Be Minimal on Amazon too. So you can go to Amazon to check that out, and I'll show you the book covers at the end here. When you talk about your new book, and I do know they're related, but Be Minimal is the name of the new book, and it's interesting because your cover art, which I'll show in a few minutes, is all in lowercase letters, which I that wasn't lost on me. I thought that was kind of cute, quite frankly, how you did that, and I don't mean cute in a bad way. I mean it was clever. It was very clever. But you talk about understanding the four fundamental areas of life. And you talk about health, relationships, career, and money. And by the way, we're going to have you back on to talk more about the book when it comes out. Maybe later in the summer or in the fall, we'll have you back on and talk about the book. There's so much unbelievable stuff in both these books. And you don't talk as much about, being minimal in terms of things. You talk about being minimal in terms of how you think and how you act and feel. So just a few words about being minimal, and then maybe we'll whet people's appetite and get them to come back later on.
Sure. So be minimal. The subtitle is not in things, but in thoughts. So people talk about the things and everything, and minimalism is a very good concept. I also follow that path. But then I was going more deeper. That same thing, whatever is in the physical space, how I can do it in the mental space. Because anyway, what I've learned is your inner state creates the outer world. So, how to declutter your mind? So, this central idea in the book is life is experienced from inside out. The events occurs externally, but the meaning is created internally. And meaning shapes the reality. So, this is the core idea of the book. Two people will have the similar event, but both will experience differently because of the inner state of the mind.
Yeah.
That is how.
Yeah, I could see that. Hey, let me ask you a question about this. And again, I want to bring it back to lean, okay, to some degree. Because, to me, lean, all the stuff we talked about is 100%. To me, lean is a vehicle in which
Yes.
we experience life, right? And so it's really no different than learning how to play golf or, I always said that you can always tell somebody's personality just by playing golf with them. You can tell whether or not they kick the ball once in a while when it's stuck in a hole, or don't give you the right score, or their temperament when they hit a bad shot. I played one guy who threw his clubs in the water. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, but you learn a lot by that kind of thing, right? And the people I play with, none of them are going to make the professional tour. So I don't know why they're, not to say you try to improve and get better. But my thinking is I go back to what we call 5S, cleanliness, orderliness, and all that. And I remember my sensei, Nakao, said to me once, Americans think that 5S is about the physical organization, but I use the physical to determine the mental
Yes.
organization of thought.
Yes.
That always stuck with me, okay? So my question is, if you see, let's just talk about being a minimalist, which means, I'm not going to have, 50,000 white shirts. I only need maybe three, okay? Or whatever. Is the physical really a reflection of the mental? Does it manifest itself into the physical? It does.
Yes.
Okay.
It is how you do one thing determines how you do everything. So also, if you see a lot of clutter around you, that reflects what is inside you. Because everything outside, it's a reflection of internal state. If now, why in a lot of countries we need to enforce 5S? Because 5S is something it is like doing. It's nothing to do with doing. It's to be with more be. That's why be minimal. It's about you, not about doing certain things. So unless and until inside the clarity is not there, outside it is not going to happen. Like initially what we talked about, if some person meets the other person, it talks in a very polished way or in a mannered way, but that person doesn't like. And then we say we did all the thing which was necessary, but I was not able to, break the ice, or I was not able to communicate properly. Because what is going inside you, that is more important than what you speak or what you do. The internal state is the most important. And that internal state reflects your house, reflects how you do certain things, what you keep. Everything matters. So I wouldn't say that you should only have three shirts. Of course, it depends upon how much you need to have, but you should decide how much you want. It should not, it should be. So it's adding meaning to your life, what's valuable for you. So, like example for me, a lot of books, I keep a lot of books also. That doesn't mean that I'm not a minimalist. It's not a definition or anything. But I love books, so I have books. I love music, so I have guitar. So these two things you will see in my house.
Got it.
Why? Because it's who I am. So minimalism, actually what happens is people talk about removing the physical stuff. But once you remove the physical stuff, then there is a moment in time where you reflect, oh, no, what should I do? There's a void, and then you skip. Oh, I need to write a book. I need to do this. But when can you do? When there's an emptiness. Because if you see in the world, majority, 99%, it's a space. You see things, people say things, it is a thing. But when you look through a microscope, you will find that there are certain things which are vibrating in, and it's a void. We say body, but body is also inside, it is empty. We say this is a planet, small planet, but the galaxy and everything is empty space. So emptiness is more than the physical aspect. So once you understand there's a space, like example, when you play, because I'm a musician also. So when you play the notes doesn't create the music. The gap between the two notes creates the music.
Interesting.
When we are talking, it's not only the words, but it's the space between the words which creates the communications. So
Wow.
the space is also very important.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Wow. I mean, as I'm sitting here listening to you and looking at my life and I'm always going back saying I could have done that differently. Not have regrets, but I do believe that most, if not all, things that have happened to me were not my choice. Okay, and so maybe I think they're my choice because I picked this house. We bought this house when we moved to North Carolina a year and a half ago. Did I really pick it? Did I really pick it?
So, like you gave example of your wife, do you think you picked it up?
No.
It was meant for you.
No,
So
I didn't.
certain things in
No.
life, we don't choose. Things come to you. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. So you were ready at that moment in time that you got it. You were in a state or vibrating at that frequency. That's why the house came into your life. And it's like both goes hand in hand. So you have also created and that is also attracted. Like example, you were vibrating at a frequency where the house frequency was the same. And when you were vibrating, the house also was vibrating and you connected.
Wow.
So it's always about frequency, energy, the same thing. So
Now, wait a
sometime
minute. I
you
take a little exception with you on this. When I was 19, I met my wife, okay? I had like five or six different girls, girlfriends. No way I was thinking about getting married at 19, okay? No, I'm only kidding you, but no, I'm not kidding about the girlfriends, but it's like I just the energy was so powerful, and I just knew. And it's funny because my wife didn't believe me when I told her later about that, and she went to ask my friend Frank. He goes, no, he's serious. He was serious about it. He wasn't joking around, and so, but it's just incredible how it all works, and I guess what I'm trying to do at the airport. And watching and trying to train myself to be aware, okay, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do. And I give you all the credit for that because you taught me that. And just kind of, I'm not always good at it. I'm not always. Sometimes I don't even think about it, and I say stupid things that I shouldn't have said, But it's just incredible. I really look forward to getting you back on your new book, and getting that out there as well. And so if people wanted to hire you to do a seminar, whether it be online or in person or whatever, what how best could they do that?
So they can get me on my website, which is manishmagic.com.
That's
And
MANISH
SHMAGIC.com.
Magic.com, manishmagic.com. That
Yes.
is awesome. That's awesome. And I'm going to share, if you bear with me for a minute, I want to show your can get that on here. Hang on, bear with me for a minute.
You're showing the first book cover.
I'm going to show them both.
Have one book of let me see. Okay, the it is not in a right to the thing.
Oh yeah, it's just I got it right here. I'm going to show you this. Bear with me, Manish, a little technical stuff going on here. There we go. Can you
Wow.
guys see that? So this
Yes.
first book is Be the Magic, which I was, like I said, honored to write the foreword to. And your new book is going to look like this, Be Minimal. And there's the small letters on Be Minimal, which I think is clever. And so that's the new book coming out, and we'll get you back to talk about this book a little bit later in the year. But no, this has been phenomenal. And there's Manish's spelling of his first name, MANISH magic.com, is how you can get him and book him for you or for your company, for your family, for your group, whoever it might be that you think would benefit. And I can guarantee you, whoever you do pick will benefit. There's no question in my mind. And just knowing you has changed my life quite a bit. And I can't really tell you now, and I'll tell you privately, that there's something that came out of this very session that I need to do something different with my life. And it just hit me as we were just talking. So once again, you've helped quite a bit. So last words, Manish.
So thank you, Mark, for getting me on this podcast. And I would like to tell the people around that vibrate on a higher frequency as much as possible. Life is beautiful, life is friendly, and whatever you believe, you will get it. So as Einstein said, again, I'm going to quote is, the most important decision we make in life is whether we live in a friendly world or a hostile world. If you believe you live in a friendly world, definitely the life will be better for you. If you think it is bad, of course it will be bad. So it's all about you and you and you. So
And
be
your
well,
point, you will attract whatever frequency you want to
you
play
are.
in. High
Yes.
versus low. Powerful.
Yes.
Powerful. Wow. Okay, man. I can't wait for my wife to see this video because it's phenomenal. And or anybody for that matter to see this. It's gonna be really good. Manish, I really appreciate it, my friend. I'm still trying to figure out how to get back over to see you guys, maybe later this year, early next year, but I will do that. And when I'll let you know in advance that I'm coming because you must get the garlic naan ready for me.
Yes,
Okay.
sure. We'll do
And
that.
and my friend, we'll see you later. And this was episode 86, all about be the magic. And bottom line. For my take out of this, you got all the control in the world to do that. So don't squander it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark, very
You.
much.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.